The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. I think that was a bit deep for me, hey? I need to go back and listen to that again. It was too deep. It was way, way, way. It was above my pay grade.
I'm not sure how it gives you something to think about, at least.
It does. It absolutely does.
Mm. And just continuing a little discussion about this International Criminal Court investigation, mm-hmm. possible prosecution. I now note that Germany and Hungary have also joined the body of countries who are opposing this probe that the International Criminal Court is looking to launch against Israeli activities, war crimes. So it's clearly not unanimous, not only on the bench of the International Criminal Court, but indeed countries around the world. I mean, this court is supposed to represent the international community. This is the way that the international community somehow has some say over crimes which are committed, which don't necessarily fall under the jurisdiction of any particular legal authority. And now the countries which are sponsors of the International Criminal Court are coming out and saying, this is not okay. One of the things that's quite interesting is the success or lack of success of the International Criminal Court over the years. They haven't really had many cases that they've successfully prosecuted. And one wonders whether that drives to some degree their agenda to try to justify their existence. Just another little thought
that we're throwing out there. Yeah, and of course the biggest issue is that it will actually reduce the efficacy completely of the ICC, because it becomes the same as the Human Rights Council, that it just, instead of doing its job and instead of doing what it was created to do, it becomes just a political tool or a weapon to be used against anybody that you don't like or you have a problem with. So it's really, really is a very concerning development. Let's just talk about the opening of the Israeli economy for business. What is the latest proposals?
So we've now moved into a situation very, very quickly where the talk is really about reopening, getting kids back to school, getting the economy reopened. After having been warned that the reopening was going to be very gradual and we were really going to take our time in getting things back to where it was before, where things were before, we now see quite rapid movements towards reopening. And the latest announcement which has been determined is that certain school children will return to school face-to-face already tomorrow. So kindergartens and grades 1 to 4 will open in areas which have lower infection rates. And when we talk about low infection rates, we still have this traffic light system, which once upon a time was simply green, orange, and red. Now we have yellow and we have light orange, and all kinds of colors of the rainbow in between, in order to try to distinguish between one area and another. And it's not an entire city that's being classified as one particular color, but certain neighborhoods within the city. And it's not only about the rate of infection, but now the percentage of those people who live there who have been vaccinated becomes part of the equation. So, for example, orange cities where the vaccination rate is above a certain level will be allowed to return to face-to-face schools, whereas orange cities where the vaccination rate is below that level will not be allowed to return to school. And I think the rate that's been set is 70%. If your community is orange and your vaccination rate is more than 70%, then children will be allowed back to a face-to-face school, whereas if not, then obviously not. And, you know, we have an ironic situation in Tel Aviv, for example, where suburbs in North Tel Aviv do qualify for children to return to school, and suburbs in South Tel Aviv do not because of the vaccination rate and because of the infection rate. So it's a case of divide and rule, because I don't think anybody can really follow this in any meaningful way. And the assessments are being done weekly. So to try to keep up with where your particular town, city, or neighborhood lies on this color grade is enormously difficult. And so we're going to have to be very, very smart about how we go about things. And of course, there's going to be a lot of influencing going on from local government authorities within those cities to try to get their cities reclassified in order to get children back to school, in order to allow those shops to reopen. There's going to be the system of green passports where perhaps gyms and restaurants and shopping malls and potentially hotels will reopen for those people who have a green passport who have been vaccinated. So now the whole issue of vaccination is becoming a very, very big deal. Interestingly, the city of Tel Aviv announced that asylum seekers and foreign nationals can be vaccinated. So it's not only Israeli nationals who are being vaccinated now, it's even those who kind of lie slightly outside of what we would call our regular medical system, people who don't necessarily have formal medical cover, also be entitled to go and get vaccinated, and they're being encouraged to do so in order to somehow try to reach this herd immunity, which we're already told we're unlikely to achieve in any event. But we're trying to get there. As of last night, 3.5 million people had received at least one dose of the vaccine. That's around 30 to 35% of the population, with 2.2 million people already having received both doses of the vaccine. Still quite a large number of people being vaccinated on a daily basis, more than 100,000 on Monday, and we're not sure quite how many were vaccinated yesterday, but still in the order of more than 100,000 people a day, which is a relatively large number, given that we're told that the demand has really dropped off. So what we don't really see at the moment is a huge reduction in the number of people who are infected. There does certainly seem to be an indication that the numbers are going down very, very slowly. But it seems to me that the economy is reopening and the schools are reopening a lot more quickly than the infections are coming down. And so I think that there's a much more reliance that's now being placed upon the effects of the vaccination, which are still quite slow to be seen in reality. So that's the way that things are working at the moment. And I hope that this massive reliance on the vaccination program will have dividends, because, you know, that's really where things are headed right now.
Yeah, well, interesting. My son went in Israel yesterday for their vaccines yesterday. And he sent me a photo, which was actually quite sad, because he showed me, well, in fact, I was very proud of him. He didn't send me a photo of him getting the vaccine, because I threatened him within inches of his life if he did. I said, it's really not necessary. Just tell us you've had the vaccine and we'll believe you. But it doesn't need to be posted on social media. But that aside, what he did send me was a photo of the center, which is this massive, looked like a hall or a tent or something. I'm not sure what it was. And it had all of these barriers for lines. In other words, that people could stand in the lines as they waited. And it was completely...
Like an airport,
but it was completely empty. And he said there was actually something very sad about it, that it just didn't... There weren't the people there, whereas the vaccines were available.
So that's exactly what the reports are suggesting, showing these massive centers. I mean, I think that what we're finding is that huge facilities were set up initially when there was the massive demand. And so those huge facilities remain, but they are not required anymore. And I think that they, to some degree, dwarf the actual demand, because when you see a massive center and only a few people, it kind of looks sad, as you mentioned. But when you think about the number of people who might have gone through that center yesterday and the number of people who were vaccinated, let's say the day before, 122,000, I think it's a respectable number in view of the fact that, you know, so many people have already been vaccinated. And also bearing in mind that something like 2.5 million people are not really eligible for vaccines. So if we take, you know, the 3.5 million people out of a potential of 7.5 million, then it starts to look a little bit more realistic. It starts to look like there are greater numbers, because, you know, we need to bear in mind, as I say, that 2.5 million people at the end of the day will not be eligible to be vaccinated due to them being underage or any other reason. And also people who have recovered from corona, I think there's something like 700,000 Israelis now who have recovered from corona are also not being vaccinated. So take 2.5 million plus the other 700,000, that's already more than 3 million people who are not going to be vaccinated from the outset. So really the number of people who have been vaccinated out of those who are eligible to be vaccinated is a much larger number than, you know, the statistics are showing.
Right. And, look, Israel is way ahead of this. It has a smaller population, so it'll be a fascinating case study to see how this vaccine works. And, as you said, if it ever ultimately provides herd immunity, or, as I think President Ramaphosa likes to call it, population immunity. I'm not sure if that's his expression, or if that's the more politically correct way of just saying it. The IDF is in the midst of an exercise called Lightning Storm on Israel's northern border today. What's the objective here?
Well, the IDF does have these exercises from time to time in order to keep both serving soldiers and reserve soldiers ready for any action that might be required. And there is a great saying which goes around in the IDF which says it should be difficult during training and easy during battle. That's the watchword of the IDF, that they should be well-trained and ready for any action that might take place. And, of course, Lightning Storm is very much within that particular philosophy. It's taking place within the Northern Command along the border with Lebanon. And the exercise started yesterday and is due to finish later on this afternoon. The idea, of course, is to improve the troops' readiness on the border with Lebanon. And there will, of course, be increased traffic and security forces, vehicles in the region during the course of this exercise. Not a lot is being revealed about exactly what the IDF is doing, but it comes on the back of an interesting assessment that was made by the IDF Intelligence Directorate, who seemed to think that Hezbollah on our northern border, based just across the border in Lebanon, are potentially looking for what they've termed a limited offensive against Israel, which would be the first time that something like this would take place, any kind of operation against Hezbollah would take place since the Second Lebanon War, which took place back in 2006. And the IDF intelligence report suggests that Hezbollah are somehow looking for a limited offensive along the lines of some of the operations that have taken place in recent years with Gaza against Hamas. And it's an interesting assessment. And, I'm not sure whether this is based on real intelligence that they've managed to glean from the area, or whether this might just be some sort of a message that's being sent out to try to get people to feel that they need to be more ready for something that will happen on the northern border. But it's an interesting assessment, and of course it comes on the back of lots and lots of activity within Iran. We know that Iran is supporting Hezbollah, so a lot of that is feeding from Iran's, I think, new found people. They have this new kind of feeling that they can simply go about their business without any impunity. When they signed the agreement, we felt that they were being a little bit more cautious. Now it seems as if they just have this newfound confidence that they can do whatever they like almost. And I think that this is coming through to Hezbollah. And there is some concern that there may well be incidents along the northern border that may lead to an operation of some sort. I don't think that Israel is really looking for a war on the northern border, and I'm guessing that Hezbollah probably not either, but it's certainly an interesting assessment of the situation.
Yeah, it really is. Rene, listening in from Israel, says, I will not get the vaccine, so that means I'm going to be confined to my home. I think that she says so. Israel, and she's referring to the comment that I made that Israel is an interesting case study. She says a case study, one has to agree to be a case study. I hear it. I do hear it. Is this a common sentiment in Israel? I mean, Renee, one of our listeners saying that she's just very uncomfortable about the whole thing.
Well, as we've discussed before, there has been a lot of discussion about those people who either choose not to be vaccinated or for some reason cannot be vaccinated. There are certain people who suffer from illnesses who are not able to be vaccinated because it might risk their general health, and therefore they are, of course, outside of the group of people who will be allowed to move around more freely. We spoke about this, the teachers, and the fact that certain teachers were told that they wouldn't be able to teach if they hadn't been vaccinated. So there is a certain level of controversy surrounding the advantages that will be granted to people who have been vaccinated, and of course the disadvantages to those people who have not. And I'm not really sure what I think about this, because on the one hand, certain people choose not to be vaccinated, and therefore if they choose not to be vaccinated, I guess they choose also to be excluded from the advantages. What about those people who simply aren't able to be vaccinated? Do they deserve also to be discriminated against, in inverted commas? I'm using the term cautiously. It's an interesting discussion, and I don't know what the real answer is.
Absolutely. And something that we do need to give some thought to. It's just gone 8 o'clock. Anthony Rye, thank you, as always, for the Israel Report. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.